Hello and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. My name's Doug Arnold and I'm a member of the Hospitality Ministries team. It's a joy to have you worship with us today, and we do invite you to fully participate. You'll find links to worship materials in the description section of our live feed, and as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship today, we also invite you to light a candle as a sign of Christ's presence with you. May God be with you as we enter this holy time together.
Good morning, and welcome to worship with West End United Methodist Church. We are so glad that you are joining us from wherever you are this morning, or later in the week if you happen to catch us later. We are glad to have the Dale family with us this morning to celebrate the baptism of Evelyn Claire. They are with us in person, and we are glad for that. We invite you to register your attendance with us. There should be a link posted in the chat. We invite you to sign in and let us know that you're joining us. And if you're a guest with us, we'd love to hear more about you. If you give us some contact information, we'd love to get in touch with you. I'd like to give you a few announcements for this week. Our membership class will begin on September 13th at 11 a.m. We'll be doing it on Zoom, and the class will run for 4 weeks. So if you're interested in joining our church, going through the class does not commit you to join, but if you'd like to be a part of that class, we'd love to have you. You can go to westendumc.org/membership, and you'll be sent the Zoom link for the class. It's that time of year again when we start getting ready to build a habitat house. And this year's habitat build will have fewer workers on site than usual, and Habitat assures us that new precautions will be in effect to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Our volunteer dates are September 26th and October 10th. Information on how to sign up is available through our Friday e-news and through our website and social media, and hopefully there should be something posted on the chat as well. We want to encourage only those who are not at risk, in the at-risk categories because of age or underlying conditions, to sign up. We want to make sure everyone stays safe and healthy. And finally, today we had scheduled an outdoor service, and the forecast is for rain. So we have not made a final decision about today's outdoor service, but for those planning to attend, be on the lookout. We will send you an email. If you had already registered for the service, we'll send you an email by 1 p.m. and let you know if the services will continue to go on or if they will cancel them. If we do end up canceling, we will definitely schedule for another time soon. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds to worship God this morning.
morning, and thank you everyone for your patience and flexibility as we navigate the live stream. Thank you for joining us on Facebook. We're grateful to worship with you today. Now join us in the call to worship. We worship this morning on holy ground.
God meets us here and calls us to follow.
Jesus invites us to take up our cross.
To discover what it means to truly live.
This is our God.
Let us worship together.
And now let us turn our hearts to God, who is for all people, praying, God of genuine love, you call us to be your voices in this world, yet we stay silent. You call us to be your hands in this world, yet we keep them hidden. You call us to be your feet in this world, yet we go our own way. When we meet those who are suffering and we say nothing, forgive us. When we meet those who are struggling and we do nothing, forgive us. When we are called to take up our cross and we carry nothing, forgive us. Breathe life into our bones and bring freedom to our lives, that through our words and actions, we might bear witness to your life-giving love in our world. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Aaron and Caroline Dale bring their daughter Evelyn Claire to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift offered to us without price. And so I ask you these four questions of the church. Aaron and Caroline, on behalf of the church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms it presents themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ is your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as Lord in union with the church, which Christ opens to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, profess her faith openly, and lead a Christian life? Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, reaffirm your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, answer by saying, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care?
With God's help,
we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in her service to others.
We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth life. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought to the Jordan, to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb, and he was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and make disciples of all nations. So pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that in dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, and to your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you in the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. What name's given this child? Evelyn Claire Dale. Evelyn Claire, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now if you'll put your hands on your sister, we'll pray the prayer of the Holy Spirit. Evie Claire, Evelyn Claire, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your life. Amen. Amen. So if you'll move to the center, we will bless Evie Claire. Evie, this is the first time you've been in a church. We know that, but it won't be the last. And so all of those folks out there and all the folks here would like to bless you and say how they love you.
And now, my friends who are here in the sanctuary and all who are gathered with us for worship today, it is our joy to welcome our newest family member in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Evelyn Claire to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Evelyn Claire. And we welcome you in Christian love, as members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Congratulations.
For the prayer of illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Lesson from the Gospel, Matthew 16:21 through 28. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. For as you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who want to lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming to his kingdom." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children to come closer to the screen for a moment, but I may need you to kind of spread out a little bit. I want to play a game of Follow the Leader. But I know that normally when we play Follow the Leader, we all line up and somebody's in front and they do some things and then everyone else behind them is supposed to do the same thing. But we can't do that today. So I'd like you to find a little bit of space wherever you're at right now. So a place where you're not going to step on any toes and you're not going to knock anything over. Maybe you just hear my voice even if you have to walk away from the screen. But I want to play a little game of Follow the Leader, okay? So we're gonna pretend that you're following me behind me, okay? So when I do something, I want you to do something. So the first thing I'm gonna do is some bunny hops. Okay, now I wanna hop on one leg. Other leg. Okay, now we're gonna twirl a little bit. Okay, thank you for playing with me. I hope that was fun. I want to talk to you a little bit about playing Follow the Leader. In our scripture today, Peter's having a hard time following Jesus. And Jesus wants Peter to follow him a little more closely. Jesus has to do some things that are going to be kind of scary and kind of sad. And he wants Peter to be with him, to be close to him. And Peter's not following very well. So Jesus says, "Peter, get behind me, follow me." And you know what? I think that's what Jesus wants us to do too. Jesus wants to follow him closely. And sometimes it's hard to know how to do that. But I think that if we can do some things, we can follow Jesus more closely. That'll help us to follow Jesus. So some of the things that I think we can do are praying. And you know, you can pray anytime, anywhere. You could be brushing your teeth and praying. You could be kicking a ball in your yard and playing. You could be getting ready to eat or getting ready to go to bed. We can pray at all different times. And praying helps us to be closer to Jesus. Another thing that we can do is we can learn about Jesus. We can read our Bible and learn the stories of Jesus and what he did and how he cared for people. We can also care for other people. That's one way that we can be close to Jesus, because when we care for other people, it's like we're caring for Jesus. So I want to remind you that God is always with us. Jesus is always with us, but we can be even closer when we try to follow him closely. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you are always with us, that you want to be close to us. Help us to follow Jesus, and help us to do it in ways that care for others as you care for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all. Would you pray with me? O God, may the words that I speak and the thoughts that we think be acceptable to you, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As I was preparing for my sermon this week, I was struck by that image that's on the front cover of the bulletin. Heath Jones found this piece. It's by an unknown artist. And in the background of this picture, there's a man. I assume it to be Jesus, and he's carrying a cross. In the foreground, there's another man. I assume it's Peter. He's sitting on a rock, and his hands are clenched in his lap, and he's staring down at a cross at his feet. I think this piece struck me so much because I can identify with Peter. As I read our scripture this week, I could imagine myself doing the exact same thing, staring down at that cross, not sure if I want to pick it up and follow. I have to be honest, I have been on the struggle bus lately. I'm struggling with the way we have to do ministry these days, and if this morning wasn't a perfect example of that with our technology failing. I'm struggling with how we have to do school right now and my own inadequacies as a parent and a proctor and a teacher's aide. I hate not being able to see friends and coworkers in person, and I hate that half of my life takes place on Zoom. And even as I say that, even as I have that personal pity party, I recognize my own incredible privilege and the deep pain and suffering of other people throughout our world. Even just in our country right now, there are so many who are hurting. Those who are suffering from COVID, who've lost their jobs, those who are fleeing the fires in California, those suffering from the effects of Hurricane Laura. And of course, we cannot forget the people of color who are traumatized yet again after the shooting of Jacob Blake and our country's ongoing struggle with the sin of racism. It just feels like too much. And then I hear Jesus. And he says that if any want to follow him, they should deny themselves and take up their cross and follow him. And I just want to put my head in my hands and cry. I want to say, look, Jesus, we have been denying ourselves for many months now, and we are tired. Look, Jesus, our arms are already full. We are carrying too much right now as it is. Look, Jesus, we have no energy left to pick up that cross, let alone carry it anywhere. I wonder if Peter felt a similar weariness all those years ago. I wonder if that's why he got so riled up when Jesus began to show his disciples that he would suffer and die. Peter seems to have a visceral reaction to this news. And I wonder if it was born out of his exhaustion from having to navigate life under oppressive forces. In his 1949 book, Jesus and the Disinherited, Howard Thurman describes the social position of Jesus, and he draws parallels with the status of African Americans of the time. He reminds the reader that Jesus was a poor Jew, a minority in a land ruled by a majority class. And he says, Jesus was not a Roman citizen. He was not protected by the normal guarantees of citizenship, that quiet sense of security which comes from knowing that you belong, and the general climate of confidence which it inspires. If a Roman soldier pushed Jesus into the ditch, he could not appeal to Caesar. He would just be another Jew in the ditch. Jesus and his followers are underdogs, or in the words of Thurman, they have their backs against the wall. They are the poor, the disinherited, the dispossessed. And it's this context in which we find Peter. A few verses before this passage that we read this morning, Peter first understands and names aloud that Jesus is the Messiah. And Jesus blesses him and tells him that Peter is the rock upon which Jesus will build his church. I'm sure that must have felt like a high point to Peter, a mountaintop experience. He finally understands what all this is about, and he's given a central role in Jesus' mission. The future looks bright. But if that's the mountaintop, then Peter must feel like he's falling off a cliff a few verses later when Jesus begins to talk of suffering and death. Come on, Jesus, that's not what's supposed to happen. These people need a win, not suffering and death. So Peter rebukes Jesus. God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But Jesus responds by saying, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block for me. You are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Now, it might be tempting to hear those words of Jesus and just assume that he's trying to ignore the realities of the present, to focus on some pie-in-the-sky reward later on. If someone else were saying it, it might be true. After all, what better way to get people to fall in line, to ignore what's going on in the present, than to paint a picture of a beautiful afterlife? But this is not God calling down from on high, patting Peter on the head and telling him to disregard this present moment because it will get better someday. This is God in a human body, a person in the flesh who feels the same pain and grief and weariness that Peter felt. This is Jesus who suffered under oppressive forces, who has experienced firsthand what it means to struggle, and who is with us in our own struggles. One commentary points out that when Jesus says, "Get behind me," he's using the language of discipleship. He's telling Peter that the posture of a disciple is to follow him, and Peter needs to follow more closely. I don't think that Jesus is telling Peter to ignore his personal suffering or the suffering of his people, because Jesus knows what it means to be present with people in their struggles. He's done it throughout his ministry. But Peter has made some assumptions about what it means to follow Jesus. He has presumed that following Jesus is going to mean some kind of political or military triumph. Peter has gotten ahead of himself, but more importantly, he's gotten ahead of Jesus, and in the process, he has become a stumbling block. Jesus, on the other hand, has a broader vision. Jesus sees the reality of suffering, but he also sees the possibility of choosing a suffering that is redemptive, one that turns the stuff of death and destruction into resurrection and new life. And it won't happen through the traditional means of political or military struggle. It will only happen through a love so deep and so wide that it cannot be overcome. But this is a totally different mindset for Peter. In order to see Jesus' vision, he needs to get behind Jesus, to follow him more closely, so that they can walk together into the fullness of the kingdom of God. So when Jesus said that we need to deny ourselves, perhaps he wasn't talking about a denial of our feelings or hurts or our pain. Perhaps he was talking about a denial of those things that get in the way of a deeper relationship with him. Author Nadia Boltz-Weber says, "When Jesus says deny yourself, maybe it's really denying the self that wants to see itself separate from God and others. Deny the self that sees spirituality as a suffering avoidance program. Deny the self that does not feel worthy of God's love. Deny the self that thinks it's more worthy of God's love than its enemy is. Friends, I don't think that Jesus says all of this in order to make us miserable, especially if we're already struggling. I think Jesus says all of this because he wants to be in deeper relationship with us. He wants to be in solidarity with us, not just to comfort us, but to help us see God's kingdom all around us and to live into that kingdom. Author Sarah Bessie says this: "I've learned that faith isn't pretending the mountain isn't there. It isn't denial of the truth or the facts or the grief or the anger. It's not the lie of speaking peace, peace, when there is no peace. It's faith because it's hope declared. It's living into those things that are not yet as they will be. I hold space for the righteous anger and the grief. I join in the lamentations of the weary world. And then I will seek ways to embody those prayers, to incarnate them, to further heaven's hopes and summon God's glory in ways both big and small, seen and unseen, mundane and holy." Friends, I think perhaps this is Jesus' lesson for us this morning. At least it's his lesson for me. Our struggles will not go away because we choose to follow Jesus. He will not lead us to some kind of worldly victory. He will not lead us down an easy path with no pain or suffering. But he will come alongside us in our struggles. He will lift our eyes from the crumbling foundations all around us, and he will help us to see God's kingdom being built in ways both big and small, seen and unseen, mundane and holy. He will invite us to draw closer to him, to follow him, and then to work with him as he turns the stuff of death and destruction into resurrection and new life. Friends, let us follow Jesus. Amen.
As those who seek to follow Jesus more closely, I invite you to stand in body or in spirit and join with me in professing our faith, first in words, as we then move into prayer and then out into the world in action. Join me in our affirmation of faith, which can be found in the link through the chat and also on page 883 in the United Methodist hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. As we move into a time of prayer together, I would invite you to share any prayer concerns or joys that you have with our congregation. You can share them on the chat alongside of the video feed, knowing, of course, that those prayer concerns will be public. If you have a concern that you'd like to share just with the pastoral staff, you can send us an email or go through our website to make a prayer request there. We meet every Monday afternoon and go over all of these prayer concerns by name. So please trust and know that you are being prayed for by your pastors and by your congregation. Our rosebud on the altar this morning celebrates the birth of Samuel Lockhart Whitworth, who'll go by Sam. He was born on August 20th to Carrie and Tom Whitworth, and he's welcomed by his big brother, James Whitworth. With these and other joys and concerns on our hearts, let us turn now to God in a time of communal prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of life, you revealed yourself to us in the person of Jesus Christ, who was not a warrior or a politician, but a prophet, a healer, a friend to the poor, a seeker of the lost, a repairer of the breach. In the great mystery of your ways, O God, the fullness of Christ was made known to us on a cross, showing that you have chosen vulnerable love, humility, compassion, weakness, and self-emptying as your way. O Lord, it is so hard to follow. We resist taking up our cross in this world that puts its trust in power and control. But help us to see that your cross is not a symbol of defeat, but of final victory. May the cross give us hope that your way of vulnerable love is the only way to true life, and that in it we are saved. And in it, you are reconciling the whole world and all of creation to yourself. Called to follow you, O Christ, called to compassion, we lift up to you now the very deep needs of our world and of ourselves. We pray for the poor, the sick, the lonely. We pray for those devastated by storms and fires in recent days. Our neighbors in Nashville who are still recovering from a tornado of months ago. For the communities of Kenosha and Portland and Chicago and other places where violence has erupted and where people are still crying out to be heard and longing for justice as we all do together. We take a moment in this silence, O God, to lift to you our own concerns of our own families and circles of friends who are in need of your healing and your love this day. O Lord, your cross shows us the way. Give us the courage to follow, to be healers, prophets, seekers of the lost, and repairers of the breach. As we follow the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We continue to put our faith and our words into action through sharing and through acts of generosity. And as we take this moment to share our gifts, we invite you to give your tithes and offering to help support the work that God is doing in and through this congregation, in our community, and throughout the world. We recognize that these are difficult times financially for many, and so we ask that you do what you can to support those in need. We know that God can multiply the gifts that we give for God's glory. So let us give with joy this morning.
Joy, God, and joy.
friends, may we go forth this week to follow Jesus. May we know his presence with us in our struggles. And may he help us to see God's kingdom all around us. Go with the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen.